Please open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. This is a topical message, but the gist of it is here in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to give you a lot of verses, and I'm going to encourage you to look at some of them. I'll say, hey, look at this, a little string of verses here, just to make a point, because I really want you to see that this is from the Word of God. And I want you to understand what it means to you and to me. Some spiritual truth. Many illustrations have been employed to describe the truths contained in the Bible. Like there's milk and what? And meat. Milk and meat. And that's found over in Hebrews 5. Don't turn, just listen maybe. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. Excuse me. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes, comma, I always like to read the comma in there, as newborn babes, that's us, here it is, desire. We ought to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow by thereby. So it's talking about new believers. And they need the milk of the word. They need the simple truths of the gospel. So there are simple truths, and then there are those that are more meaty. Or we might say there's more depth to it than you might first see, that it might be obvious at first. Like in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways. They're past finding out. So there are deep things. You wouldn't expect this to read like a sixth grade reader, right? This is the word of Almighty God. We should have to think about it. And we get something out of it. And we realize when we're through with this passage that we're really not through with this passage, because next week we could read it and God would challenge our hearts again. And give us thoughts we hadn't had before. I want you to know as a believer that is the Holy Spirit at work in you. The Spirit of God who's teaching things. We'll talk about that even today. Depths remind us of the undersea world. Some would never explore the depths of the sea for fear, or maybe complacency. I don't care, they say. Or maybe, just maybe, they have feelings of inadequacy. I don't swim that well, or I don't have the equipment to do that. In God's Word, there are depths to the truth. We have to fathom the depths of the truth. But some would hesitate to explore the depths of the truth because they're afraid. Maybe they don't care, complacency, or maybe there are feelings of inadequacy. And we all have those feelings of inadequacy. I confess to you, I have feelings of inadequacy when I start studying the Bible. I thought, I really don't get this sometimes. And I have to study really hard and really long and pray and wait on the Spirit to help me have understanding of things. So you're not by yourself in that. We are inadequate. That's why God gives us the Spirit of His Spirit to teach us the things of the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you to lay aside your fear. If there's any feeling of complacency, just put it in check and stretch yourself a little bit, because I want you to taste of a treasure of truth that's a little bit under the surface, okay? I'm going to try to make it easy. The truth is a little under the surface, but we're going to communicate it as simply as possibly, and we'll illustrate it, and so you can catch this truth. So we're going to launch into the deep to taste of one of the treacherous truths of the Scripture. Galatians chapter 2, we find a meat doctrine, a nugget of deep spiritual truth. And I want to introduce maybe just with an illustration first. Years ago, down in Winston-Salem, where my family got its start, the post office there in the city, if you walked in there, they had bulletin boards right by the post office boxes. And on those bulletin boards, they had wanted posters. Have you ever been there and seen wanted posters? Now, it causes me to think back beyond that in the unsettled West, where they have these wanted posters out there. And those posters might say, wanted, dead or alive. And there's a reward listed there, $500 or $25 or whatever it was, a lot of money for that day. Can you imagine going in to where they had posters like that and looking at it, and you're looking at this poster, and it says, wanted, dead and alive? You would think to yourself, well, which? You may even go to the postmaster or go to the sheriff's office carrying that poster and say, there's a type error here, and this needs to be fixed. And you could be told, well, no, the poster's right, dead and alive. You would ask, well, you would say, that's ridiculous. How can one be both dead and alive at the same time? How's that possible? Well, it's not in the physical sense, but it is very much a possibility in the spiritual realm. And that's what Galatians 2:20 is. Do you know Galatians 2:20? It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. That's what it says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. What a verse. Maybe you've read it before and you think, well, I don't know if I get that or not. Maybe you did get it at one time. I want to remind you of this truth this morning. And I want you to think to yourself, I am certainly glad I can understand this truth, and I can measure myself by the truth of God's Word. I want you to measure yourself by Galatians 2:20. That's your assignment now as you listen to me speak. Literally, we could say, with Christ I have been crucified. That's what it's saying. That's what it means. Crucifixion, the root of it, comes from a word that means to stake down or to drive stakes in. And we know that it's applied to the cross. Crucifying of an individual to put to death by nailing to a cross, the crucifixion. So I could say to you this morning about me, I'm crucified with Christ. But do I look crucified to you? You could say, well, no, I guess you don't. So what does this mean exactly? When the Bible says I'm crucified, what is it saying? So what does it mean? The Bible is its own best commentary. I don't know if you learned that yet, but the Bible explains the Bible. You just have to look around and find the answers. So let's look at some helps from within here. The phrase crucified with, you see it? So it's a different word, sort of a compound word. And the idea is crucified along with Christ. It's the same word that was used in the Gospels when they talked about those malefactors, the criminals that were crucified either side of Christ. They were crucified with Christ. Same thing. Let me read you a couple of those verses. Matthew 27:44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. They were crucified with. Same exact word. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Mark 15:32. And then John 19:32, same word. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. So if you're looking at the Bible and you're trying to come up with a different meaning for this phrase, it's going to be hard because there is no other way to understand this phrase other than I was nailed to a cross and there I died. That's what it's saying. I am crucified with Christ. It obviously doesn't mean my physical body, though, right? Because, you know, I wasn't there, okay? That was a long time before me. I hadn't been born yet, but nonetheless, the Bible tells me I am crucified with Christ. The Bible says that when we accepted Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God baptized you. Do you remember that? We've seen it many times. These verses I wouldn't mind you looking at. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. We are baptized by the Spirit. Does He baptize us in water? No, the preacher does that, right? The preacher baptizes in water. But before that, you need to already be baptized by the Spirit. Into what? Baptized into, don't be afraid of it, the body of Christ. We're baptized into Christ. Baptized by the Spirit. So here it is. You get saved. You bow your head and you confess your sin and say, Lord, I don't want to live in my sin anymore. I want to be saved from my sin. And I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I'm putting my confidence, my trust, my dependence upon Jesus Christ to do everything He promised He would do. I'm accepting Him as my Savior, my own personal Savior. At that very moment, the Spirit of God puts you aside into the body of Christ. Now, you don't feel it. It's not an experience in the physical realm. It's something that happens in the spiritual realm. You say, well, how do I know? Because the Bible says so. I'm made part of the body of Christ. I am now, Danny Linville is right now in Christ. Let's look at some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Speaking to believers, Paul writes in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's talking about the Spirit. We're receiving Him into ourselves. So two things there. The Spirit of God puts you in the body of Christ. We're also called the bride of Christ. So you could say the Spirit of God just transmits you out of the kingdom of the lost into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. You're in the kingdom, you're in the family of God, you're in Christ, and you are part of the bride of Christ. But you didn't do anything except trust Him. Trust Him and believe that He'll do all of that for you when you got saved. And you thought you just walked down the aisle. And you thought you just lifted a hand or I just prayed this prayer. No, it wasn't that. That experience will not save you. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And if you prayed the prayer or lifted your hand or got baptized in water and you didn't believe first, you didn't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you're not saved. You have to do that to go to heaven. Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. And so you need to be sure that you're exercising faith. And if you have, then all of these things are true about you. You are part of Christ's body on this earth. You are the bride of Christ. You're the family of God. You've been adopted into His family. You've been redeemed, set aside, out of the pool of the world into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You did that by faith. So just keep on going by faith. There's a lot more to believe God for, but that's not my purpose right now. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ, and then we receive, according to this 1 Corinthians 12, 13, we receive Him because He comes and lives in us. He lives in your heart. Are you aware of the Spirit of God? It's a dangerous thing not to be aware of the Spirit of God because you'll grieve Him. He's given to us to teach us the ways of God and the Word of God and to illuminate the path that God would have us to walk on. And when we're not paying attention, when we don't care, when we're apathetic about spiritual things, then we're missing out on the abundant life that He came to give us. If you're saved, you are therefore in Christ, according to this verse and these other verses, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Want to take a little tour? Go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans 8, 1. And then we're going to Romans 12, 5. And then we're going to 2 Corinthians 5, 17. and then to Ephesians 2:6. I'll announce them all again, but flip through the Bible with me with these. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, what? In Christ. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God put you in Christ? You're baptized into Christ. Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, talking about us when we're baptized into Christ. Look at chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, there's a lot of us here. So we, being many, are one body. What's the next words? In Christ. We are one body because we're all in Christ. We're unified in Christ. And every one of us is members one of another. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I can't take time with these verses. We'll just have to keep moving on. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Help me out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, take a look. All things are become new. And then lastly, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Next words. In Christ. Are you glad you're in Christ? And this is just a sampling of what that entails. Our being in Christ. So since we're in Christ, whatever is true of Jesus Christ is true of us in terms of our salvation, who are in Him. We are in Him. Being in Him, we are crucified with Him because we're in Him. His crucifixion becomes mine because I'm in Him. You start to understand? That's not too deep, is it? We're in Christ, and so because He was crucified, God looks at me and says, well, you're crucified too then. It's like a man in the Niagara River, and he's headed for the falls. And about 20, he's in a barrel. You ever see those, the barrels they fix themselves? A lot of them broke on the rocks beneath, and people died in those. But this man thought he could do it, and he had the special barrel, and it was reinforced. And he's headed down about 20 yards before the fall. He decided, I don't want to do this. But it didn't matter at that point because it's already sealed. Nobody could get him out in a matter of a couple seconds. He's going over the falls because he's in the barrel. You get it? He's in the barrel. He's going over. We're in Christ. And His crucifixion is mine because I'm in Him. And we're going to talk about why is that important. When Jesus died on the cross, my old nature, the man that I was before I got saved, my old nature was crucified with Him. You say, well, I still have mine. I know, but according to the way God looks at things, your old nature died when Christ died. That's how He can forgive us. Our sins are paid for. That old nature's gone. As far as God is concerned, that old nature is gone. The book of Romans in chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now, just hang on to this a little bit because we're going to make sense of it here in just a minute. Why is this important? Why is it important that when Christ died, I died with Him? Why is it important that I'm crucified in Christ or with Christ? Well, I tell you why it's important. I was born a sinner. Nobody had to teach me how to sin. When I was delivered from my mother's womb, I was selfish already. I wanted what I want. I want it right now. And if you don't get it, if I could do something to you, I would, because I'm selfish. I'm a baby and I'm already a sinner. Already a sinner. The Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51 and verse 5. As it is written, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not even one. Not even one. You say, you're talking about little babies. Yeah, I am talking about little babies. They have a sin nature. They're born with a sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. So says the Bible. You say, well, do you believe babies go to hell? Another topic, okay? No, I don't. So you'll know, okay? You say, well, you're not preaching the word. Well, I think I am, and I'll talk to you about it later. But that's not my point. My point is we're born with a sin nature. Do you agree? If anybody here has overcome their sin nature, would you raise your hand, please? There's not any. All of us, we're aware of our sin nature, aren't we? We're aware of our sin nature. The penalty for my sin, it's death. Physical death, yes, physical death. And according to the Bible, there's another avenue. There's another part of death called the second death. And I'm separated from God. The penalty of my sin was I can't hang around God anymore. I can't fellowship with God anymore. I can't physically because the distance, we would think, in the physical realm. And I can't spiritually because I'm sinful and He's not. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, what I earn because of my sin is death. So spiritual life and death, what are they? We're talking about things, we need to define it. John chapter, would you turn, 17 and verse 3. John 17, 3. And this is a verse you need to put a star by, or if you underline it in your Bible, because if somebody says, what do you mean eternal life? Well, you can show them this verse. This defines eternal life. John 17, 3. And this is life eternal. How's that? Definition coming, he says. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you know God, you have eternal life. If you have a relationship with God, then you have eternal life. If you don't have a relationship with God, you ought to know, then you don't have eternal life. You don't know God, you don't have a relationship with God, you don't talk to God, God doesn't speak to you, then there's a problem here. You need to get it worked out. Now, it's not going to hurt me if you die without Christ. It's going to hurt you if you do. And it's not something you play with. This is a serious matter. The wages of our sin is spiritual death and separation from God. Jesus died to pay that penalty, though, for you. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, for I deliver unto you first of all, I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. In other words, just like the Bible said He would, He did. He died for our sins. The sheep to the slaughter. Why did He do that? He did it to pay for your sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died for your sins. Well, okay, Jesus died and paid the penalty for my sins, and I believe it. I trust Him. I'm accepting His forgiveness. I'm confident that He will do for me everything He promised, and I'm trusting Him for that. And at that moment, back when I was 7 years old, the Spirit of God baptized me into the body of Christ. I became one of God's children, became part of His kingdom. The Bible says in Romans 6, 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? Spirit baptism, not water. So because I am in Christ, now baptized into Christ, and I have accepted Christ, I have thereby been crucified with Him, according to God. I said, according to God, I don't feel crucified. I believe I am. I'm not dead physically, but I believe I'm crucified with Christ. So what is that? I want you to know that when God looks at you or me, God looks at me as one who has already died. So why is that important? Because the wages of my sin for me is death. And God looks at me and he says, he already died. How did I die? I was crucified in Christ. Galatians 2:20. The wages of my sin is death. And God says, he already died. Because he sees me in Christ. Isn't that a precious truth? Now, you don't think that every day. But we ought to. We ought to think about it all the time. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. William MacDonald says, this means the end of me as a sinner in God's sight. It means the end of me as a person seeking to merit or earn salvation by my own efforts. It means the end of me as a child of Adam, as a man under the condemnation of the law, as my old unregenerate self. It's the end of me. The old evil I has been crucified. It has no more claim on my daily life. That's what God says. That's what he says. So there are two aspects here, two perspectives, if you will, to what God says. One is positional truth. There's positional truth and there's practical truth. There's how God sees me, and then there's how I should see myself according to what God says. So positional truth, as God sees me in the spiritual, eternal realm, in Christ, I'm dead because he died. Let me tell you what that means to God. God hung my sins on the cross in his Son. In God's mind, he put my sins on my Savior. God buried my sins in his tomb. God covered my sins with his blood. God destroyed my sinful self in his Son's righteousness. And I swapped. I exchanged my sinfulness for his righteousness. And though this physical body still lives, God sees me as having already died in my sins. Because he sees me in Christ who died for me. That is salvation. So, out in Hollywood, they make films and they have tremendous stunts that are performed by people. And they have stunt men and stunt women who step in to take the place of the star in the dangerous situations. Similarly, when God looks at me, he's really seeing Christ because I'm in him. I don't deserve it. I still sin every day. I still have that old flesh nature. But God says, no, you died in my Son. That's your salvation. Now, there's also a practical way to look at that. Okay, that's how God sees me. But what about how should I see myself now, Lord? I mean, I can't hardly wrap my mind around these spiritual truths. How can I see myself in this physical realm in which I live? And here's the answer. The price of my redemption is paid, but I've not yet received, as Pastor Nate said in Sunday school, I haven't yet received my spiritual body, my redeemed body. One of these days, you're going to look at perfect Danny because I'm in Christ. And that's the promise, my redemption, the redemption of my body. Until the end of the age, though, I'm still confined in this body of death. It's getting older. I hurt more than I used to. My sins, I have things, Lord, oh God, help me not to do that. I still have that nature that wants to see and think things I ought not see or think or do. Do you have that nature too? If you say no, then you're lying. And that's part of your old nature, because you do. The Bible says you do. We all have that nature. Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8, 22. Let's look at it together. Until the end of the age, we have to contend with this sinful body. And at the end of the age, we'll receive our sinless body. The nature to sin will be taken away from us. You won't be tempted to sin. Won't that be grand? Verse 22, chapter 8 of Romans. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That day when sin is gone, sin is no more, either within or without, we're going to live in the perfect kingdom of our Lord in eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53, this is the passage we read at the graveside. You're going to bury somebody, you want to read this passage. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." What's that mean? This rotting body, pardon me, this rotting body is going to be brought back together and it's going to be incorruptible. This body doesn't last long. I'm glad we don't have to live to be 150 years old now, aren't you? I don't know if I could handle that or not in my old and aging body. I don't think we could do that. So praise God for physical death, but also praise Him that we're going to get a new body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, another good verse to look at. Look with me. Ephesians 1:13. I love, this is one to commit to memory. It says, "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise," which is the earnest or the down payment, if you will. We have the Spirit now. He's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Until you're in the presence of the Lord, you have the down payment of the Holy Spirit right now. But the purchased possession, us to Him, He's purchased us with His blood. And when we are His, when you look into the face of Almighty God, things will be quite different. Our redemption will be complete. Picture children, if you will. Children love to make pretend, don't they? So there's this family, and their cousins and everybody was together, and they went to a funeral because Grandpa Moses died. And there he was in the casket, and they did the whole traditional funeral. And the kids decide the next week that they're going to play funeral home. And so they appoint a dead person. One of the cousins got it. "You got to be dead." And they put him in a box and they stretch him out there and they're mourning around him and somebody's preaching a service. And then all of a sudden the dead person doesn't like what's going on. And he raises up and says, "You're not supposed to be doing that." And all of them together say, "You can't talk, you're dead." They're dead. While we wait for the redemption of our body, we need to play dead. We need for our bodies to play dead. Jesus told His disciples in Luke 9:23, He said unto them, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." How often? It says daily in Luke. Take up your cross daily and then follow Me. What do you do with a cross anyway? Well, you hang it around your neck, right? You put it on the wall. You put it on top of... No. What's a cross for? The old rugged cross. What was it for? Talk to me. It was to die on. That's what you do with a cross. Take up your cross daily. Die daily. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Romans 6:11 says. So, boy, I'm moving slow. Summary. Again, why is the death of Christ so important? It's important because the wages of sin is death. If I'm in Christ, the wages have been paid. If I'm out of Christ, then I still have to answer for my sins. And I'm already condemned. Already, right now. I don't have to live with the eternal consequences of my sin if I'm in Christ. He was condemned for me. I'm no longer condemned. And as far as sin and its condemnation is concerned, it's like I already died. You can't punish a dead man. And the practical part of this truth is, I ought to live like I'm dead in Christ. As far as sin is concerned, I need to be like a dead man. Do you ever see a dead man sin? No dead men steal hubcaps. None of them are arsons. Nobody kills anybody else if they're already dead. Dead men don't sin. Christ died for you. And positionally, you are as righteous as He is righteous, because you're wearing His own righteousness before God Almighty. And God looks at you and says, He already died. He died in my Son. And so what do? We say, I died in His Son. And so I'm tempted to think that thought that would not be appropriate, or I'm tempted to do this action and it would not be appropriate, or I'm tempted to go there and that would not be appropriate for a Christian. And as far as those things are concerned, I'm going to act dead. I'm going to act like what God says I am. I'm dead to that sin. My old man was crucified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm going to do one more phrase. I won't finish probably this morning. But let's do another phrase. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. What's the next? Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. To say that I live in the realms of the physical would be sort of an overstatement of the obvious, don't you think? He wouldn't need to say that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, here I am, still alive. No, it's something else. This phrase, I live, refers to the same spiritual nature in which God says I'm dead. It's that spiritual realm. It's God's way of looking at things. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, in Christ, I live. I live. I'm alive right now. I'm alive spiritually. Remember John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So if you're alive, if you this morning are alive right there in your pew, if you say, I don't know God, then you're not saved. I don't know Jesus, then you're not saved. You say, well, you're rude. No, I'm not. I love you, and I want you to know that you're not saved. You need to do this today. You need to take care of this right away. It's because Christ's crucifixion was not the end of the gospel story that I'm alive. Christ died for my sins, so okay, now I die and I don't have to go to hell. But no, it's more than that. It's more than that. He died for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live as defined by God. It's because Christ's crucifixion was not the end of the story. What was the end of the gospel story? Let's see. Christ died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And that's the end of it, isn't it? 40 days later, what else did He do? And you'll see tonight in John, if He hadn't gone back to heaven, then the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. So it was part of the good news. Death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to heaven, and the glorification of Christ where He is. He lives to be my Savior. He lives at the Father's right hand to be my Savior and your Savior. Aren't you glad? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4 says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He rose again. He didn't just die for me. He lives for me. We serve a living Savior, right? He's in the world today. I know that he is with me, whatever men may say. So in the same way that I'm crucified and dead with Christ in his crucifixion, I must also be alive with him in his resurrection. Go back to Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to wind this down here in a few minutes. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. You need to read all of this Romans 6 passage. Do that this afternoon after your nap, right? Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in his likeness, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive in Christ. Not physically, you already knew that, but you need to understand, I know God, I have a relationship with God, and spiritually, I'm going to live forever in his presence. That's our salvation. That's our wonderful salvation. Let me give you those two aspects here. Positionally, talking about the resurrection now, how does God see the resurrection? In Christ I died, but because of the resurrection in him, I'm now spiritually alive. I'm raised from the dead with Christ. Take another little tour. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians 2, 5. Then Colossians 2, 13. And then John 11 and then 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at some verses. If you're tired of turning, just listen real good. That sounds southern, doesn't it? Real good. Really well. Listen really well here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace. It's a gift. By grace, ye are saved. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then John said in chapter 11 in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's eternal life. And 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God, be warned. So understanding this principle, when God sees me, he sees Christ's resurrection from the dead. I was spiritually stillborn. Spiritually. I was a stillborn. But God has given me life because I'm in his Son. And that's the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's going to get to the Father but by him. God looked at his Son on the cross and he said, Danny Linville. Oh, the sin. And he turned his back. 2,000 years later, he looks down to Corinth Baptist Church and he says, oh, there's Danny Linville, my son. My son, my righteousness. No. Would God go so far as to call me his righteousness? Has he made me that much better? Last verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going to read it once and then we're going to read it out loud together. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. Let's read it together. For he hath made me him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. Oh, so great salvation. That's how God sees us. Dead and now living in Christ. How should we see ourselves in light of the resurrection? The practical part of this one. As far as God is concerned, I'm spiritually alive in Christ. I should act like it. I don't need to be walking around acting like, as the Sunday school message said, I don't need to be acting like an unsaved person. Hey, I got the light. I'm alive in Christ. Why should I be like that anymore? Why should I live in a cesspool of sin when I can walk in the absolute light on an illuminated path that's filled with God's blessing? The only way any Christian would do that is they don't believe God. They don't believe in an abundant life. I used to go fishing on a big river in North Carolina as I grew up through my teen years. And I liked to fish at night and catch catfish. Big catfish. We'd put them on a stringer and wait till the morning. Sometimes you'd go out there and you'd see that white belly of the catfish floating up like this, upside down. But we learned that you can take that catfish off the stringer and drag it backwards and its gills sort of flare out. And the water passes over its gills. And you just keep doing that for a few minutes. And that catfish will come back to life. It wasn't really dead, but it was close. It's revived. And we pull it through there and all of a sudden you'll feel it start to move its body and you let go. And it might sit there a few seconds and then all of a sudden with one flip of the tail it just disappears into the deep. Alive from the dead, so to speak. Brothers and sisters, that's what you are. That's what you are in Christ. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for my salvation. I pray, Lord, that not only myself, but all of us here, Lord, would thank you for our salvation. That we would understand just how perfect it is and how we went from spitting in your face to enemies of Almighty God to your children forgiven, wearing, Lord, your own righteousness. Redeemed, forgiven, declared righteous, set apart for your eternal presence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.